entering the DGTC.
Are you ready for a deep dive?
And Jordan did most of the crap.
Can't believe I said that.
I've been doing this in 2008. What the fuck do I know?
Drawing hands is my kryptonite.
Dark loading up elbow logos.
Yeah, look at the show.
Welcome to the DGDC, a united team of design professionals, creatively bound to bring unique inspiration and a common perspectives. You can email us listener questions or topic ideas to hello@dgdcpod.com or check out our website, dgdcpod.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at dgdcpod. Plus now you can join in on the conversation. We have a Facebook group. Just pop onto our website and hit the community tab at the top. Now, on with the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the DGDC. This is Nick, and I wanted to do a quick little message before this episode. You're going to love this one. We had a topic in mind. Jordan's out for this week, so Mikkel and I were going to talk about a specific topic, and we got into starting the conversation, and it just went and kept going into some fun, cool, shooting the shit kind of conversation. And it really turned out to be cool. We cover so much, and yet we had no topic, no agenda, and we just kept going, and we realized this made the episode. We will use that topic for our next one. It's in the making, so look forward to that. But enjoy this. We're calling this one Shooting the Shit with Nick and Mikkel. I hope you enjoy it. Bye. All right, folks, what's going on? We are back. We are minus one. Jordan is out this week, but Mikkel and I are here to chat with you guys, to reconnect, and hopefully talk about something I think has been on a few of your minds. We'll get into that in a little bit. But
right.
Mikkel and I were talking earlier, and we were thinking, well, first of all, what are you drinking?
let's be fair. We're coming up on 5 p.m., so this is completely doable and
totally
no guilt
yes
at all applied. 10 to 5 p.m it's beer 30 for Nick and
yes.
me
come on
and we both are IPA fans. I love what you're drinking out of. That's so
oh isn't this nice
that glass is really really nice looking.
I
Nick
think
is drinking
like
out of a
it's like a chalice.
Yeah, you call
tulip?
Them a chalice.
Tulip. That's I think it's a tulip glass. Yeah,
okay, tulip. Yeah,
so it kind of narrows
the top.
Whenever
I go to my dad, he pours my first IPA of the visit and something like that. Always feels kind of celebratory and
that's
special
so
to hold
cool.
it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love
and
that.
Then I'm just drinking from my Swig container to keep it cold throughout
Good.
The episode.
It's amazing how crazy the bottled or I guess like the water bottles and the craziness of, like, I'm sure you've seen them, those Stanley.
Yes.
What, I mean, where did that come from?
It feels like all of a sudden it's just kind
yeah.
of
yeah. And you everywhere. Can't have the copy. You've got to have, like, it reminds me of when, like, all the polo shirts were really popular, and if you didn't have the Izod, you know, alligator, you were out. Everything was just a copy. And now it's like, it's the same with the Stanley Cup. It's
yeah. Isn't like, it interesting? They're everywhere.
Wow.
I know. You almost don't feel cool and legit without one.
Yeah. Have you seen these new things? They're called, I don't know if there's one brand that owns it just yet, but it's a water bottle. And at the very top where the nozzle is, you put these little smell cartridges and they smell like pineapple.
This is so funny you're bringing this up. I was just introduced to this concept. I didn't even know that it was around.
Wild. It's so,
so does
good.
It impact the taste?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't.
To
it's
smell
your
it
mind.
On the way. But all of our senses are intertwined, so I'm
it's
curious
a trick.
About this. It's a yeah. trick of the senses.
So the first one I had a pineapple one. I had a cola. It had one that was called Red Bull. Like, so it tasted like a Red Bull, which is kind of weird.
And well, and it enables us to remain hydrated in kind of an
water,
entertaining fashion.
And it's just the smell. So,
and
like,
what is the price point of these?
Oh, I got this one on Amazon. It was like $15.
For a number of them.
One bottle and like 20 cartridges. It was crazy.
Wow. So you can't, do you reuse the cartridge for different?
Yeah. And it has a cap that the main cap goes over where the cartridge is. So it kind of keeps it airtight when you're not using it. So
yeah.
It's been weeks and it still smells.
Wow. $15 for multiple.
That's clever as hell.
I'm gonna look into this.
I think it's
because
called Air
you
Up.
Know what?
Air Up is the big.
I am avid. I am in love. I'll spend the money. It's terrible. I love the Hint Waters. I buy them all the time.
That's the best way to describe what this is.
Okay, and that's how what it turns. That's what it.
So if you haven't seen these things yet, guys, the whole idea is that as you're drinking, your nose is right near this cartridge and it's picking up the smell of the flavor. And your mind doesn't know,
the
like, obviously,
so to speak.
The water's
see,
not
it feels
flavored.
Odd to call them cartridges, but that's essentially
yeah, they're
what
like
they
a
are.
Little, it's like a little ring. It's like a little donut that goes right on top of the nozzle. And the cool thing, too, is, like, if you lift the nozzle up a little bit, it does, like, an aeration thing. So as it's coming in, it's, like, almost bubbly. So
carbonated-ish.
It's, like, yeah, because I've always – I know – did you have a Soda Stream, right? I remember
– oh, my gosh.
Remember that one from the Christmas list?
Yes. So I am such a proponent of these. But when we lived in Salt Lake, our Samsung refrigerator had a system that carbonated your water for you as a part of where you fill up your water and ice.
Brilliant.
I'm surprised I'm not seeing them more. And then whenever it would go dead, you bring it to Target, you go to the customer service desk, and they hand you a fresh cartridge to bring home. And you give them your used one, and they just carbonate it. So it's repurposing and reusing the same filter cartridge.
So it's like that CO2 cartridge thing. Yes. Same thing that goes in like a Soda Stream. You're putting it in your fridge. That is probably the most brilliant idea.
I just can't believe – I mean, but I am – there's LaCroix. We Costco.
Oh,
We constantly have them in the house.
Yeah.
But – that sets the bar, because if only these refrigerator systems could have the flavored.
Exactly.
You just add whatever you want.
Now you gotta put a little cartridge in there.
After you help yourself in the fridge. Anyway, those are just brilliant.
Great idea.
Well, I have to try this. What's the brand name of the?
Air Up.
Air Up.
But if you look at like a scented water bottle or something like that, maybe on Amazon, there are hundreds of copycats.
Okay.
Like, and I don't even, I'm sure they're all made by the same place, but kind of fun to try. I have had it for about 4 weeks, and I gotta say, my water content has doubled.
Your intake is better.
Yeah, and I look forward to like when you, rather than buying, to be honest with you, man, like the prices of those like soda water cans. I mean, they've like doubled in the last 3 years.
It's
like,
a bummer.
I remember getting. I feel so good. You get like a 12-pack for like $2.99. You're like, this is awesome.
You can't find that anymore.
No, and it's like it's gone up to like $6.99. It's
I
like,
know. It's bad.
Are you kidding me?
It's
like,
bad.
What? So cool. I feel like I'm cheating. It feels like really good, and then I'll just keep buying some of those cartridges, but they last a long time.
Has furthered if it's improved. Yeah. I think that is probably just nothing
what
short of
tangent.
An argument to support. I know. Look at us now.
But again, like also, maybe someone's gonna do that with beer, and it's water.
No.
It tastes like beer.
No.
But one of the things we wanted to chat about was before we get into our topic, which is kind of like unconventional design versus conventional design.
Yes.
We were talking earlier and saying like, man, what a time to, you know, be designing, working, trying to stay positive.
Positive.
There's so much going on in the world, the economy.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you if you're following friends or maybe hopefully I hope no one out there has been subject to
connected
this
connected with yes
yeah the job kind of market, a lot of layoffs are happening at the end of this year. What do we do to stay positive? You know, like I'm struggling. I'm sure you are too, because you brought it up. I'm just like,
it's
too much.
I have been feeling refreshed these two past weeks based on some phone calls or the initial portion to any given virtual meeting, because point of contacts will ask how you're doing. You know, you'll do the exchange, and there's nothing passive about it. Nobody right now, it seems, is saying good and then you move on. There's this acknowledgement about the suffering and all of the inadequacies that are happening on the other side of our world and those impacted by it. And it's the reason I use the word refreshing is because people are being honest when they say, how's it going? How are you doing? Actually, I'm really being impacted by the news right now. Actually, yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to improve my self-wellness because I'm really struggling with all these headlines and inundated. The very least that I could do is observe and listen to the news based on not being on site and losing someone in my family that's a part of the war at some realm.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So it's interesting to hear these individuals, and myself included, thinking the least we can do is be aware and listen to the news. Well, it's a downer. It's a downer. It's absolutely nothing short of sad. So there was an article that I read. I always pull up a news network-based article before I get up out of bed to get me started for the day. And one of them just 3 days ago was, this is a lot to take in for us as humans. Here are a couple of recommendations. And I thought, I should share this with Nick because we would be lying if we said we were the only ones impacted. Everyone is being impacted at some capacity. So it was going out of your way to do that extra mile, take a walk, no electronics, be mindful of your breath, to make that appointment for a 30-minute to 60-minute massage, to just get yourself outside of your home where you're inundated, right? And some of us do this, we're mindful that it's on purpose. I am one of them. So being mindful of taking a moment to light the candles and get the humidifier going and leave your phone outside of the room and sit and breathe and close your eyes. There are things that we can do with the items that we have in our household. So I just think it's important.
Right? Yes, like yes. Analog.
Analog. I think it's important to keep these areas in mind. And recognize when you might be in the mood for certain chunks of the day to obtain the information versus turning it off.
Yeah, I agree. I think I've talked about this before, but 3 years ago, I just canceled all cable. I don't want news. I don't want anything. It has been the most refreshing and then on some times the most frustrating kind of decision.
Yeah.
But I'm so clear of what I feel like. I don't care where you fall, what's being reported on everything feels like so skewed and so propaganda
to the point of,
I don't feel like anyone's telling the truth with what's going on. And so I don't want to let it affect me.
And now Semitism is in the mix. So you can't, I mean, it's bad.
And I have so many friends that are, I'm so impressed with how they are handling this and being very, what's the word? I guess they're being very humble and they're putting it out there on their social medias and everything. I think I would do the same thing if I had the same connection to what's going on. And it's just, I'm so happy to see that they don't feel fearful of saying what they want to say.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing, you know, we're all learning, but like, isn't it just a matter of like just being good and being
right
and doing good, like, you know, and treating people good. And like, I think we can all agree that's what we want to do. Right. Yeah. And it's, and so like,
yeah,
but it's tough because I'm not watching and I want to stay away, but God, it could creep in on social, on a website. You're just, you know, I mean, even LinkedIn, you know, top right corner when you log on has the top news and you're like, guys, this is my break.
They provide
from that.
A way to donate, which in its own form is media and news altogether. We stopped. We run Netflix for the kids for shows and entertainment.
Wonderful.
What have you?
All on demand. All by
and
choice.
Then,
I'm
a baseball girl, so World Series and the playoffs have been on, but we don't turn the news on. We purposely don't turn the news on, unless it's controlled by either Jason or myself exclusively while we're working from our computer devices, for example. But but that way, there's not exposure to the kids, and it's nice to understand that from an educational atmospheric perspective, staff members from primary and elementary schools, since Oakley is in that arena, oh, yeah. They are being very parameter based. They're not disclosing, they're not talking about it. It's not part of curriculum. And for those that are mentioning things on the playground, recess, whatever, if something makes you uncomfortable, please share it with us straight away. Like open arms type of approach, which you would hope would be the case in a workplace anywhere.
Yeah.
With any organization.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a differentiation between the recess monitoring from an elementary school into an organization amongst adult employees. However, yeah. I don't know what is being regulated anywhere. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I try to like find the distractions. I think you named a ton of good things to do. I think I took full advantage of about like 2 weeks ago. I got the clear from my doctor that my shoulders are fine. I can go back to activities and do things. And I did not realize how much I missed that. I had to put it on hold for like 2 years.
Wow. Now,
you know, and
was
so
that stress induced from the beginning?
Oh no, it was me doing stupid things like Spartan races and screwing up both of my shoulders.
Injury ridden, physically.
Oh yeah, like tore both of them. And so like, so to get them all done, get that up, like that, like green light that they've healed, you're on the right track.
Amazing. So,
yeah. Heck, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got back into that swing of things and I look forward to it now. It's
good.
Any distraction you can
do. And it can make you more productive when you have
oh my God, I come back so like, yeah. And my morning routine's changed a bit. I'm not like trying to look and see like what happened immediately last night. Like you want to make sure you're obviously in the know of things and stuff. But like, I just find any distraction you can do is one great thing. I think we both kind of shared some good things there. But to spend the positiveness, and particularly too with like the way I've seen a few folks and I know a few folks who are going through some layoff times because it's the end of the year. Kind of craziness when it comes to like businesses. And it's weird too because of AI and all these other things. I think a lot of companies think, oh, we'll go through our typical November, December layoffs and maybe we don't have to rehire these people, you know? So here's the call to all of us creatives. Look, AI is coming. It's here. It's going to happen. But if we are not freaking showing off how much we are worthy as a human in our jobs and everything, like you're not doing, you have to. It's a fight right now.
By the way, right? AI, now that there are cases opening up that are federal civil cases about AI.
Yeah.
Making headway too fast or swaying views. And
yeah,
I find it very interesting. And I guess it was a matter of time, but is it okay to admit it's sort of encouraging? Because we talked about how hefty and fast this was rolling out. And
too fast. Yeah.
Finally, it is hit ground and people are recognizing, while there are so many advantages, the number of disadvantages to human life.
Yeah. And who's putting that into consideration? It doesn't feel like anybody is, to be honest with you. Like, they're racing so fast.
Yes.
I saw this thing the other day I was talking about.
Whatever's for the betterment of the company and ROI, everybody's like, sure,
totally.
Let's test it. And go.
Talk internationally too, because here's the thing. We're the only ones talking about guardrails and all this other stuff. But other countries are going, we don't care. We're going full blown in. And so
I don't know about this to the extent that you do.
Right. And it's like, so I've been listening to everything because I'm doing a talk in April that is all about AI.
It's about a part of your prep. Okay.
Yeah. And so here I'm sitting here like, I don't think I can say exactly what that talk's going to be about until maybe like February, April, right before
up the
talk,
until the last
it's changing
minute.
So fast.
For sure.
So
that's
yeah.
a challenge.
So someone was saying, hey, I saw an interview and they're saying, hey, all the top US execs were saying, we have to do this pause. We got to do whatever. And they were all behind closed doors, almost going like, what good is this pause if the rest of the world is going to take advantage of the fact that maybe the superpowers of the world are going to pause, but everyone else is going to say, nope. We're going to take advantage of this.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's all ROI. It's all advancement.
How can I invest?
right?
And how it's can like, I is this obtain yeah, equity in a from this?
Hey, if and, you ran a company, you'd be probably looking at it too, right? You
well, know, we, if sure. We, you're
if
right.
We had the thousands of employees and everything. So, but one thing I think we're going to do is there's a guest I'm trying to get on the show who had the most optimistic view of AI that I've ever seen. He is the chief creative like officer at IBM, and he spoke at Adobe Max last month. And his speech, we you know, I was there with all of my students and other faculty members, and we all left his thing going like, "Whoa! Like that, we need to talk to this guy like more." He had such an optimistic view.
Ooh, I'm intrigued.
For us as creatives. So yeah. I'm going to try to. We have him coming to talk to our school. So now yeah. I'm going to be like, hey.
If he has a talk that's accessible online, can you send it to me?
It should be. If it is, I will put it in the show
from
notes
the Adobe
of this.
Adobe. Okay.
Yeah, I'll
on
double
demand,
check.
We can look at it.
So good. And one of his best lines, he ended with a slide saying, generative AI will not replace people, but people who are adopting generative AI will replace people who don't. And I was like, there you go. So there is a human
engineer-like
variable.
Minded.
He's trying to say every time he used AI, he put AI, human plus AI. He never just allowed AI
like
to be
that.
There on a deck. Right? Isn't that, that's so
well, that
smart.
Is being, how thoughtful is that?
Yeah. Because
there's
a lot of
emotion wrapped into him being cognizant and completely directive with that goal. I love knowing that.
He has 2,300 people on his team across the world.
I need to meet this guy.
Yeah, it was. And the best part was after Max, he spoke and there was a break and a few of us were like, I had three or four other teachers with me. We're like, I need a drink after that. So we went to the
bar. Yeah, or if not in tears already.
In downtown
I know.
LA. And guess who walks in? That guy. He comes in by himself and he's like looking for a beer. And so we just bolt right over to him and we exchanged
how
on LinkedIn
amazing.
And everything. And I told him, I'm like, that was the best conversation we saw because like,
you got
I don't
want to
see
him.
I don't want to see another tutorial on what another thing could do. We know where that is.
There's a ton of those.
We got to start talking about. We got to start talking about how this is going to change our industry because.
Yeah.
Look, like imagine if you were a teacher of college level students in our industry, months away from joining the workforce. Where would you draw the line? Like, where would you say, like, okay, in your portfolio, you can have 10% AI or no, or 50%, like, because the real world is saying to them, hey, what's your experience? Have you done anything in AI? Right. And so if they're asking for it, it's almost like right now they need to have experience in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side of me, the traditionalist says, there's no way we're teaching AI right now. It's too soon. Like you need to know the fundamentals
right,
of design.
Right. Right.
So what would you do? I think we're going to screw our topic because this is so much better.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's fascinating.
Right? Like where would you draw the line as far as where you're going to like say, okay, everybody from this point before you've learned graphic design or creative this way. And then after that line, AI and everything else becomes a part of it.
That would be a fascinating survey to conduct and obtain, wouldn't it be like,
yeah,
or does it have to simmer and be a part of our world a little bit longer? I mean, how brilliant is that?
Yeah,
so because your mention,
because you're gonna, let's say you're even gonna hire a young designer as a intern or whatever. Don't you want them to come with a little bit of like, particularly those of us who haven't dabbled in it, wouldn't you want them to have a little bit of AI?
How it can cascade internally from within, starting with that one individual is huge. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
And guys, it's not just AI creating art. I even think that's the thing
So
it's all the little things. Like AI helps us put together a little story reel for our podcast. When we record this and we're done, this software tells me, hey, here's six highlights of your conversation ready to go for Instagram stories.
Yeah, if people that are using it for their LinkedIn description profile, I mean,
yeah,
it's a plus. Yeah. But outside of just the written material, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the ground within warehouses, hubs for Amazon.
Yes.
Their warehouses are striving from this.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are robotic machines
mm-hmm.
in mezzanine levels where no employee, no human needs to reside.
Yeah,
they've got it taken care of. It's all generated from. It's crazy, and
so
they've figured out that it's more costly to join human forces with these bots on the floor because of safety hazard scenarios and L&I cases. So separate them. It's crazy.
It is. That's the stuff to me that I go, it makes sense. But then you're going, now, but what are we doing to leverage that if that means a certain percentage of people are no longer needed in employment?
But there are those minded individuals that are needed at the machines running the bots themselves.
Yes.
Because, in the event that the bot does not read the generative light and colorized indication saying don't move forward, there needs to be repair, service, what have you, outside of the innovative collaborative team effort at the very start, of mm-hmm. course, to all of this. So, providing jobs, but these are for not everyone. Like, who has a great uncle that's not going to dip into that now mm-hmm. in his life?
Yeah,
he was laid off at Boeing, and he had been there for three decades.
Exactly.
What's he going to do?
Yeah. Look at the auto workers kind of situation going on right now.
Yes. Yes.
It's crazy. They could bankrupt the big three auto industry because of the dispute they're going on. And I think I saw an interesting thing that saying that they're fighting for the wrong thing. They should not be fighting for raises and more benefits. What they should be fighting for is longevity, is job security. Because as all these companies turn more to EVs, it's kind of like that's their AI, right? As they turn to that, all of a sudden, that demands 20% less of a workforce on an assembly line because it could be done more with AI and computers and robotics.
That makes sense.
Right? So what they should be fighting for is keep me here. They might get a 50% raise right now, but they can get fired next week. So it's kind of – and I think we're all experiencing some form of where technology and all these other things are. They're affecting our world. And I guess like the overall thing is like, do you bow down and say – I give up, or do you say, let me incorporate, let me welcome it and figure out, God, the big thing I see is because I tell my students this all the time is get better, just get better. So you're not lost. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's an individual responsibility. I think we all have is to wherever mm-hmm. you are and whatever career you're at, if there's a threat, fucking go balls out and face it.
Isn't that intimidating to think about? I mean, to be behind and have the idea of having to play catch up all in all. So that should keep the ambition running for you.
Yeah.
That's very good advice.
But I don't want it to replace, like, then I still battle with it because I go, stuff has to be made from scratch. It has to be made from talent. It has to be made from hand. And that seeing how far AI is going, it feels like it's replacing that so quickly. And I don't, and I look out for so many of my friends that are strictly illustrators and strictly like they don't rely on any third party the way I would, let's say. I'll be totally honest. Like when we need something, quickly and my clients go and like, it's going to market, whatever. I'm on one of the sites that I have a membership to and I'm paying for it, right? And the client is too. And I'll download that quick thing that we need. We do it with stock photography. We're all okay with that, right? We're paying the photographers making money.
Yeah. And that is feels standard to me.
Yeah.
That's
a
given.
How about fonts?
Fonts.
And, you know, I think even the way Adobe has it, where it's Adobe Fonts now, as convenient as it is for us, I kind of feel like it discounts typography. Because it's so free and included. And
I know.
Hey, I'm 50-50 on that because I'm like, hallelujah.
You're
this
consumer.
Is the best thing in the world.
We're consumers
but
of
also,
it. I know.
I'm not
and
a
we're
font
working with it.
Designer.
And then
yeah.
we tweak it following. I'm with you. I know.
Yeah. So we're using so much that I feel is in that zone of the against side of AI. We're already using stuff like that. We use a calculator. Calculator is AI.
Yeah.
Right? Our phones
people
have
probably don't think of it that way, but it truly technically
no one's thinking
is.
About that Instagram filter that makes them look 10 years younger. That's AI.
Yep. Yep.
It's wild.
But listen, so your mention of layoffs in the economy right now. So there have been times where we've mentioned on this show, there are benefits to being a vendor, not having to deal with the politics and the direct ramifications of that as a part of personnel to an organization. Well, just recently, my team was given word that a bread and butter account needed to trim hours by 5 times, like crazy
really?
Amount. Having to make those phone calls and request the meetings with team members to say, I am sorry, so sorry. And it having impacts on me too. And therefore my family, right?
Everything.
Income wise. The overwhelm hits like crazy. You panic. And then we observe all of the steady headlines that are coming in fast that are awful. That are going on in the world. And it's so hard to not think to yourself, doomsday, dooms month, dooms year. I'm effed. What am I going to do? I mean, I would imagine, including the two of us, people know if you're tapped into LinkedIn job opportunities that become readily available day by day, you visit the job position, you see just with the LinkedIn source alone, standing alone, how many applicants there are in within 24 hours.
Yeah.
That's just LinkedIn. So if these organizations are posting the same job availability to Glassdoor, their
Indeed.
Own website, Indeed, it triples, multiplies the number of applicants. You're one in a million. Like that.
Yeah.
So I am saying this wholeheartedly after having been through it recently to center yourself and think about all of the connections you have as a freelancer. Maybe you have not been in contact with an account for a couple of years. There's no better time to reach out. Refresh their memory. I had, it was such a great experience. Put your name on their ballot, head front. You never know. You never know.
Totally.
Rather than being one of a million applicants through these job openings that you're seeing come in through subscriptions, connect with those that you have a foundation with.
I couldn't agree more. That's your golden ticket. It really is. You could play that game I get it. If you need to go right back into the full-time gig and it has to happen.
Yeah.
Then
understandable.
You got to go full force.
And sure.
Then it becomes the, how am I standing out? How am I doing this? I put a little mentoring thing on my website and I get a few people a month that I help them out with it. We go through their portfolio. We go through their resume. We go through their website and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, most of us just need that tiny little tune-up that someone, another pair of creative eyes to look at and be like, you're doing this part wrong, you're doing this part right. Amp this up, turn this down. Game changer when it comes to looking for the job, right?
Yeah.
But if you have the flexibility to start thinking about what is a contracted or a freelance, or I hate that word, but it's
I know. It's familiar. We know what it entails.
Your network is more powerful than you will ever know. And I see it all the time because, like, I'm so blessed to have two incredible corporations I work for that gave me the core. Like, I can look at anyone in my circle right now, and they came from these two jobs. Like, honestly, like, that's where, and then, you know, that's where it blossomed. And then you've got these extra things, the podcast, the just going to trade shows, meeting people and everything, right? But the other day I posted something and my old boss from almost 15 years ago saw it on LinkedIn. I'm like, post. 10 seconds later, my phone rang. I was like, I haven't talked to this guy in like 15 years. And we started talking and he runs this insane business. And he's like, let's go grab a beer next week. I need your help because I see you all the time on LinkedIn showing off this, this, and this. And I'm like, that's organic, like, connection happening right before your eyes.
Yeah. Good for you.
Right. Like, and I think we're all, you know, spend that time, do a little bit each day to kind of plant a seed on LinkedIn. You never know. Someone could be seeing your stuff week after week, but then all of a sudden an opportunity comes up. And if you're not the first person they think of, you got to do more, right? Like, I'm sure you're in your circle of even friends and people that are outside of the industry.
Yeah.
You've made it well known that if you need this, Mikkel is your person.
Yeah.
Go.
It's so, it's imperative. It's been on my radar. I'm needing to get back in there and just to update stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you see those notices come in about number of people viewing your profile. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Nothing is updated in there. Damn it.
But it's such a more, I think going to the website and making a new case study and everything is so intimidating. Whereas, two or three highlight images from a recent project, a little bit of ChatGPT to help you write it. It's a game changer on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. It really is. So I don't post anything without using ChatGPT now. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, you see anything I've posted on LinkedIn, ChatGPT wrote it. And you can go a year ago and see the Nick Longo writing, and then you can see it now. It's so much. It's just so much more intriguing. It's so much more colorful. It writes, and I keep that thread. I keep one thread for LinkedIn posts on ChatGPT because what it does is it's considering all the history, right?
Right.
It knows what I've asked for in the past. It does that, and I'm telling you, the engagement is so much better. It's incredible. It's so worth trying, and LinkedIn is so easy. Like. Again, like, I'm struggling. I want to redo my website. I've made two alternatives of my website. They were so long ago that they're already outdated. It's not worth using.
It's tough.
But then I wonder, you know, are we in this world of I need everything so quick and condensed? Is a website almost too much to the potential person that's going to hire you? Like, don't you think like a quick capture on, I guess, LinkedIn, maybe even Instagram, if like that, is that enough to qualify you? Or does someone have to go spend 15 minutes on your website? What do you think?
Yeah.
Or a referral. Referral. That's your
referral.
That's your golden ticket.
For sure.
And then they check you out and go, oh, he or she's got, look at this. Look at this great list of stuff, good stuff, great clients. I recognize that, whatever. Is a website even being used?
I mean, now that I think about it, it can be very labor intensive, all these portfolio updates, right?
Yeah.
How to lay it out, how to spec it, you know, prepare the UI, work with a developer to implement. It's exhausting. But if you can just freshen people's minds and eyes about your latest work from a post,
yeah,
you don't set yourself to regularly do that. If you're going to, like, I'm talking to myself right now internally as I say this, because
I saw you. You were like, your eyes went to like looking up.
I mean, I spent the hours, and I do think people do visit the website, but if it's readily available within a feed, people might not think they need to venture. And it's an extra layer anyway. People aren't going to take the time, to be honest. It's just the world we live in.
Yeah. I don't take my own advice. I will look at someone's, portfolio and be like, bro, that bottom three columns, you got to get rid of that work. That's all I'm going to remember. You have great work up on top. And then I was talking to someone the other day and he was like, but I can't, there's so much work involved. I bend over backwards for that. I'm like, bro, I know that feeling. But
that's
your
why that fresh perspective from you is so beneficial. It's so beneficial because when we're in the driver's seat, we don't see it that way.
Yeah.
Get fresh eyes on your portfolio.
Yeah. But I'm not telling myself that because I still think my case study has to be 20 pages of scrolling because I'm like, how can I show this project off without showing
and then be right
this
because it and the feeds car wrap. Into this other I know
right
I know but then to be selective right I mean yeah. it's so yeah it can be groundbreaking
yeah
remind
it's
yourself
wild.
To be selective.
I wish there was more. Like, I think what I'm going to do is like send it to folks and be like, give me your honest opinion. Cause the one thing I got probably about a year ago was I was doing something with some of the folks over at Adobe. And I said, hey, just as a capture, I'm like, if you don't mind, go to my website and just write me a few paragraphs of first impressions, you know, like I trust your opinions, you know? Mm-hmm. And the overall consensus was really different from what I was wanting to hear. And they were saying like, it's so serious and it's so like, feels too prestigious and like might be way too expensive for my budget. Mm. And I was like, I didn't ever try to do that. But then I did a little like kind of like soul searching. And I was like, that's exactly what I was trying to do. Because prior to having my own business, you know, 90% of what I worked on was like kids entertainment stuff. It was all from like movies and animation. And we worked on like Disney and Star Wars and stuff. And I didn't realize that I purposely tried to make my stuff look more mature
and
more serious.
But then if we can obtain over time bragging rights for these ultra quality pieces that we get to be a part of.
Yeah.
We can come across that way. That's boutique, you know, nose in the air type of media and portfolio means.
Yeah.
So interesting. Good perspective. How do you whimsy that? Based on the feedback, how do you prepare? Because we've learned through and through, let your portfolio speak for itself. Mm-hmm. Don't busy it with a layout within, you know, keep it clean, showcase your work.
Yeah.
Well, if that's all you have to show for, and it was looking too high grade,
what
the fuck are you supposed to do?
Exactly. So what I did, or what I'm trying to do, is soften it in color. And in like negative space and kind of like air it out a little bit. I think it was a little too like it. There wasn't a wasted square inch.
It was dense.
It's very, and it still is. And then it's copy. Copy is that is the man. Like copy is the driver. I'm willing to say copy is first, design is second. In anything I work on.
I mean, projects work that way anyway, right?
It's the skeleton.
We take the hand off.
Yeah. And now, you know, most of my projects, we're before we do any design, we have established so much in copy and in written word.
Yes.
So it only makes sense. So that's the other thing I've been trying to do is like try out new headlines and new things within my website to soften it and to be more of a specialist in food and beverage, because that
makes
just
sense.
Seems to be everything I've been working on. So it's interesting. Like, it's all trial and error. It really is. But
it
I love the challenge of it, because the minute you see a dip or some ebb, you want to ignite and get it back. And like, and then there's the other thing. Like, this is the best part, because business is great. There's so much work, and I'm so thank God, and I'm knocking on wood that I'm not having to like project a lot of like self-promotion or anything
solicit.
Out there, right? And when I ask my clients, like, what led you to say yes and whatever, I'm not kidding you guys. Like 90% of the time, it's attitude, personality, service, commitment, feedback, all that. Design comes last.
But at the very get-go, to embark on established relationship,
sure,
they didn't see that part of your personality.
But I do that before even today. I had a new onboarding
with a call, with a meeting.
It's a Zoom call, and I knew I got enough from her, semi like television personality wanting to do something new in the food scene, and I knew if I got a great time with this person online and on camera, I can really sway them into something and get them into thinking like, hey, this, and I show them previous pitch decks and everything of how I want to take you through this process. And we had a fantastic call. We found so many similarities. I doubled the estimate with her, because we were talking and I said, you
knew
need
there
to
was
be
an establishment
here.
That had jump started.
Because you can't do that on email, and I can't do that in a creds
you
deck.
You doubled it. You felt confident doubling it.
The scope doubled.
Oh,
Not the price. Like, it was the scope. Like, I'm like, we thought we only needed to get to this point. I was like, oh no, we got to go here, and that's what you need to enter this marketplace. And we were in full agreement within an hour call.
Way to go! What an experience.
Yeah, I love that opportunity. Even if
you need a blog to share these stories.
Yeah. Even if you fail, like, it's so worth trying that stuff.
Fail successfully.
Like, I failed many times with trying to stretch it.
The more you put into practice, the more you'll catch your break. You will have it.
Yeah.
But oftentimes with the number of fails, we think, no, it's not working. Different path, different route.
And all it takes is that one yes.
Only takes one.
And then you're like, whoa, I am in a whole new stratosphere.
Yeah, interesting.
And of course, it's not this beautiful trajectory of
progress. There's far more losses than there are wins.
Yeah.
However, when the win strikes.
Yeah. And put yourself in the client's or the new perspective. Prospective
when
clients.
It's so refreshing and you're
put
like
them in there.
Finally you're thinking to yourself, this is not an amateur, I'm not being bullshitted, this person is genuine,
and don't
they
just say what
showcasing
they want to hear
their case studies so that I understand they're not gonna nickel and dime me, nor are they talking through their ass. They've been through this, they've applied themselves with these use cases.
Yeah, that's the ultimate. And I feel like in this world of convenience and online and Slacks and everything else, if at least the initial time, if you need that moment to shine, you know, take advantage of this. If they're local, meet with them. If not, do the virtual. Get on
How
there.
How frequently would you say you pull up this? It's like a pitch deck.
Yeah.
To showcase.
So they got a process deck first. That is very generalized. It's more about the process and what to expect in working. But today, I pulled up a very similar project that was in the same field as what they're doing. And I was like, do you mind if I take you through this? Because I think it's going to explain a lot. And they were like, yes, can we see? And I'm like, we haven't signed any NDA or anything, but I was like, you know, do I have your agreement that this wasn't, you know, I'm showing you stuff that hasn't come out yet, you know? And so that really worked. And I think showing them the process, and it was very granular and very graphic with the designs and everything. It's one thing to show them a form that says, I'm going to take you through the process. But if you're showing them visuals with it, man, I'm telling you, it was really cool. I've used
But it hasn't, you're saying it hasn't been publicly launched. It has not been publicly released. So
exactly.
But in the interim, you made the time to prepare a process doc.
Yes.
With visuals that documents the process. And
very much so. Yeah.
And I'm not saying, I would argue that's not normal. Because now what's the next gig? And then your head shifts and you don't revisit. Like,
I know.
But it is important to make, well, how much time do you think you set aside that it took you to prepare that
process? That was a full week. That was a full weekend about a year ago.
But it was a big project from start to finish.
Oh, yeah, the process one or the example one? Because there's two different things
that you shared with this
the live one. Yeah, yes. That's been a year. It was like a year, a PDF that had about a year's worth of work in it.
Work in it. And you're saying it took you a business week to prepare.
Yeah. To make it in a concise kind of like,
knowing that it could feed into potential gigs upcoming for you.
Yeah, because again, it's the same thing about if I'm hiring someone to do something that I know nothing about and they show me that, that's a qualifier, that's proof of concept, that's everything, right?
Yeah.
You'd want that in anybody you were hiring. So I think, and I got to give total credit to a small little studio called Smith and Diction. If you look them up, they shared a lot of their kind of unique collateral in onboarding clients. And I just was like so overwhelmed with the stuff they shared
where it clicked that you were that it would be beneficial.
Why don't I have that?
Prepare something like that.
And you build it once and you use it 1,000 times.
As a template for other, yeah.
Right. And that one is like so solid that I made it so it doesn't need any tweaks. It's the thing that I can send to anyone and they'll get it. It's like talks about the whole idea of like, I'm not going to just design you a logo. You're going to get a brand, and everything before that is ethos and brand voice and personality and everything. Then we get into the logo and then the logo collection and then the patterns and the.
Yeah. So you don't just hit a canvas board. It's a process. Yeah. That's great.
It was so worth it. And like, I feel so good sending that out because I think a lot of times, even if it's a, you know, when it comes to someone who is like, you know, they've never worked with a creative before and they're probably thinking, so, cause on the flip side, I got an email today.
Well, you're setting the bar then from the get go.
Yeah. Like, and on the flip side, as successful as that was today, I had another one that the client wrote back from, they got my estimate and they're like, we were imagining about a quarter of that. And you're like, where did I go wrong? Right. you can't win every time. But if I give them a better expectation and a better explanation of what I'm going to do for them, maybe that price won't be as shocking to the next one, you know?
Yeah. That's the goal. Happened to me today. Right. Immediate response over email was, I really want to work with you. Can we slice it in half? And I'm like, oh my God.
We could slice the scope in half, but we can't.
But that's what
you want to say.
Yeah.
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 It's wild. Yeah. We're on a roller coaster.
For sure. For sure.
I have an idea. This is going to be, the episode is going to be called Nick and Mikkel shoot the shit.
Oh my gosh. Like, well, how so many tangents better. Did that get into unplanned?
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
But I think these are some of the best kind of conversations I like to listen to.
Yeah, it's all relevant and relative. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's if great. You resonated with this, please share this with folks. We are in behind the scenes trying to do some really cool things to blossom this podcast in the future. Hopefully by next year, I think we'll have some fun stuff to share with you guys. I was telling Mikkel about the things that we want to like start exploring and stuff. So, but I'm glad we did this one because sometimes I think
happening.
Just a zero outline and a let a conversation become a conversation are my favorite conversations.
Organic that way. This is the way a date should feel.
There you go.
Like, come on, who are we kidding?
I know, and we have drinks, right?
Have drinks. It's a wrap.
That's awesome. So, guys, if you enjoyed this, please do a share.
Know.
Let someone know that maybe some kind of like advantage of listening to this. Because I know, hey, if you're doing great, I'm sure we know two or three people that could need some help. So, if it can help in any way, share this episode with them. And we will be back as soon as possible with our next episode. Right.
Love it. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. And we will talk to you all later.
Thank you.
See you.